On behalf of Barakpur Gandhi Sarok Sangrahalaya, we met Sri Haridas Mitra at his Calcutta residence on the 14th May 1964. He is 50 now. Sri Mitra was a social and political worker, suffered imprisonment during the CD and other liberation movements, organized the INA secret services in India in 1943-44. He was arrested and secretly sentenced to death. Through the direct intervention of Mahatma Gandhi, the death sentence was commuted to life transportation and subsequently released unconditionally in December 1946 through the efforts of Gandhi. Being requested to speak to us some of his reminiscences about Mahatma Gandhi, Sri Mitra said,
"The glorious deeds of Netaji's Azadin foes had not reached the shores of India then. On the charge of being an active member of the secret service of INA, we were condemned to death. It was the 7th of September 1945. I was walking up and down the musk floor of that small room, the condemned cell of the Alipur Central Jail. The red letter with the death sentence in bold print kept fluttering before my shifting eyes. 10 more days between life and death. The somber silence was broken by the sound of heavy boots in a slow but firm manner by my late wife. Bela came up to the iron railings. She had secured the permission to see me for the last and last time. After a few nominal exchange of words, she came down to her knees to touch my feet and softly said, 'I am going to Gandhiji at Pune to make the last bid.' Her face revealed both strength and firm determination to fight till the very end. On the 14th of September, Gandhiji wrote a letter from Nature Cure Clinic of Pune to Lord Wavell, the then Viceroy of India. He wrote, 'I am sorry that I have to worry you almost immediately on your return from London. My only excuse is that my mission is purely humanitarian. Sri Haridas Mitra, an MA of the Calcutta University and the husband of Sri Subhash Chandra Bose's young niece, Srimati Bela, aged 22 years, is under sentence of death. In any event, the case for mercy becomes irresistible in that the war with Japan is over. Gandhiji wrote in conclusion that it will be a political error of the first magnitude if this sentence of death is carried into effect. Within 7 days of this letter, the Viceroy temporarily suspended the order of our immediate execution of death sentence in Alipur jail. But Babuji, not receiving an immediate reply to his letter, again wrote to the Viceroy after 25 days, "May I remind His Excellency that the decision in the matter of Sri Haridas Mitra and others is now overdue. I have prevented all public appeals and demonstrations in the favor of the prisoners in the hope that the death sentence will be commuted. Srimati Bela was with me the other day and was anxious that a move should be made publicly here and also in Great Britain, but she listened to me and has waited." Even not receiving a timely reply of this letter, Gandhiji began to lose patience, but he assured Bela that he would soon be able to give her good news, see her smiling face again, and only after hearing her bhajan will he let her free. After another 10 days, on the 19th October, he wrote to the Viceroy, "In my opinion, justice, to be real justice, requires extension of mercy to temper it." Within 12 days of this letter, the Viceroy commuted our death sentence to life transportation. But Gandhiji did not stop there. With the commitment of the British government that no further cases will be brought against the INA, Mahatmaji began to write to the Viceroy for our release. Finding that the Viceroy was turning a deaf ear, on the 22nd of July 1946, after 1 year of commutation of our death sentence, he wrote the last letter regarding our case. He wrote, "Having slept over it for 4 nights, I feel it to be my duty to say that it seems that His Excellency is wrong to delay in the release of Sri Haridas Mitra and others. It is inconsistent with the declared policy of the government." Time rolled on, the arena of Indian politics dressed and redressed itself. Under the leadership of Jawaharlal Nehru, the interim government came into existence. We were still then rotting in the prison. According to Gandhiji's instruction, Bela set out for Delhi. Just on the eve of the commencement of the meeting of the Congress Working Committee, Bela, sitting beside Bapuji, blessed the demand of her release to Jawaharlal and Sardar Patel. Mahatma Ji had told Bela that with the formation of the interim government, the major responsibility has been placed on the shoulders of these two. So he should not impose his wishes on them directly. So in my presence, you just remind them about these cases, said Gandhiji to Bela. Within a month of this came our release. This was Gandhiji, strong in his promise, soft in affection, and firm in his duty. For the cause of humanity, diverse ways and reverse political views bore no fruit on him. An embodiment of truth, where his conscience asserted him, no power on earth could he care what of the British Empire. I sent the news of my release, first of all, to the Mahatma, who was at Noakhali then, working among the suffering men. The news of the serious illness of Srimati Bela was also there. In reply, he wrote to Bela in Bengali, and it was among the first few letters ever written in Bengali by the Mahatma. It reads, "Very affectionate Bela, Haridas has returned with so much hope and enthusiasm. How can you remain in bed? Get well soon and join your husband in his work. Give him strength with Bapu's blessings." So were the treasures in his heart.
Well, Sri Mitra, when Gandhiji was on walking tour in Noakhali on peace mission, you went there with Srimati Bela and met Gandhiji there. Would you please let us know about the talks that you had with him then?
We alighted from the train at Sunaimuri on the 20th January 1947. A volunteer belonging to the revered Satish Dasgupta's Kajirkhil camp was waiting with a jeep. From him, I gathered that Mahatmaji, having thought of my wife's illness, had arranged to send the jeep. He was about 30 miles away from Sunaimuri, working among the sufferers at the remote camp of Nandigram. Presuming that it would be sterunas for Bela to undertake this journey, he had instructed the man to ask us to alight at Kajirkhil, about 12 miles from the station. Having taken a little rest and a hearty meal, we set out for Nandigram and arrived at about 5 in the evening. Bapu was just preparing to go to the prayer meeting. Seeing us, he came up and affectionately greeted Bela and said that he was particularly worried about her. Just like a guardian, he inquired about the details of our journey, asked us whether we were inconvenienced in any way. This warm and affectionate care washed away the fatigue of a long journey, and he said, "Let us move to the prayer meeting straight away." After commencing the service with Ramdhun Sang, Bela was asked to sing some kirtans and bhajans. It was a cold January night. I was discussing with a few reporters and friends as to where we could sleep and what could be done about a meal. Bapuji's secretary, Sri Nirmal Bose, intervened and took us to him. Bapuji said, "As long as you are here, you will take your meals with me." After dinner, the secretary informed us that he had arranged a room for us in the nearby village. But before going there, Bapu summoned us again. In his characteristic jovial fashion, he said that though he was not being able to entertain me like his grandson-in-law, as Bela was his granddaughter, the place arranged for us to sleep was within the premises of his own camp and that certainly it would be a better than that of a room in jail. Moreover, Bela would be with me. Standing amidst death and agony of Noakhali, this man could remain so alert and so particular about the little things of life. How insignificant and tiny we were beside him. Yet never did he stop to impart on us both affection and care. He would say that he was not being able to look after us properly in the midst of this bustle and din, not being able to meet with our inconveniences even. The night had given way. We had gathered for the prayer meeting on Mahatmaji's room. As usual, a chapter was read out from the Gita and Bela sang a bhajan gan. After it was over, Bapuji told us to steal a little sleep, for the journey had been quite tiring. We crept away, but he remained seated and continued to write in the feeble light of a lantern. With the break of day began the famous march of the Mahatma. The newspapers had called it the memorable march. We considered ourselves very, very fortunate to have been able to accompany the Mahatma in that historic walk. With dense growth of the palm trees around us and Ramdhun in our lips, we proceeded along the narrow paths. At the forefront was Manu and Bela. With his hands on their shoulders, walked the Mahatma. While we were shivering under the warm clothing, I was bewildered to find Bapuji in only with a loincloth and a khadi chadar walking over the cold dews almost barefooted. From the dilapidated houses on either sides came the loud refrain from the councils. The women came out with garlands. He again garlanded them with their own garlands and with a smile on his face walked ahead. Those riot-torn people rushed about to get the touch of his feet and pay their homage. Those who were successful could no longer hold back their tears. He waited for anyone coming from a distance. He wanted to attend to every person and every individual's sorrows. Within an hour and a half, we reached Prasadpur. We stayed at this place for the night. Suddenly, I awoke at about 3 in the morning and found Bapu working intently. I felt that his work during the day was not enough to meet with his acute sense of seva, so the night too could not still pass. While dining with him the next day at Nandigram, I asked him whether this march of his had meant any mark on the minds of those who were responsible for the riots. In reply to this, he said in the prayer meeting, though he did not notice any remarkable change at that very moment, but he has taken this mission of change of heart. He does intend to stick to it till the last day. The next day, we reached Vijayanagar and pitched our tent. Now was the time for parting. I went to Bapuji and said, I, who having reached the threshold of death, is alive again only for you. I would be very grateful to do any service you would call me to do. Then he replied calmly, you saw the mounting waves of the ocean, and without bothering about your life, you jumped into it. Along with the sense of sacrifice went emotion. But my way is totally different. The way of action too differs. Though minor sacrifices in day-to-day life, you have got to fulfill your ideal. For that, you need patience. This patience can be attained after long training. So, at this moment, I cannot call you. But when Bela gets well, I will need her for my work. Then do not stop her. Paying our homage, we came out. The journey was accompanied by silence. The sorrow of parting from a very near and dear one kept breaking us whole day.